Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, if you've been following me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and Ina Garten. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste to share recipes, tips, and kitchen must-haves. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everyone. Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Wake and Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Come watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it! Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts or on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Bruce Bazzi. On my podcast, Table for Two, we have unforgettable lunch after unforgettable lunch with the best guest you could possibly ask for. People like David Duchovny, Jeff Goldblum, and Kristen Wiig.
We're doing all the dessert.
We're doing all the dessert. We'll just skip right to it.
Our second season is airing right now, so you can catch up on our conversations that are intimate and often hilarious. Listen to Table for Two with Bruce Bazzi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, we have Brandon Darby coming up about a half hour from now. Going to ask him about Mexico's new president. Can Mexico even take on the cartels if they wanted to? I have all kinds of questions for Darby. That's coming up this hour. We're about to dig into all this Pfizer, Fauci, all this stuff. Probably next hour I'll get to Supreme Court stuff, emails, lots of other things. I want to first walk down memory lane. Shall we take a stroll down memory lane? Please come alongside me and let's remember this.
Right was the investment over decades in the basic and clinical biomedical research that allowed us to make a vaccine in unprecedented time of less than a year that turned out to be safe and highly effective.
They are safe and so effective.
We know that vaccines are safe and effective.
The data is so compelling that these vaccines are safe and effective.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
You got all that. You remember. Now, Kansas's attorney general, his name's Chris Kobach, I should note. I'm actually having him on my TV show tonight if you want to watch me interview this guy on the First TV. Anyway, he's suing Pfizer. Well, this is what the lawsuit states. Pfizer misled the public that it had a safe and effective COVID-19 vaccine. Pfizer said COVID-19 vaccine was safe even though it knew its COVID-19 vaccine was connected to serious adverse events. Including myocarditis, pericarditis, failed pregnancies, and death. I want to make sure everyone understands this crystal clear now. It's not that nobody knew. Well, no one knew. Nobody knew.
No, maybe you didn't know. Maybe I didn't know. Pfizer knew. They knew they had something on their hands that was dangerous. But because of the despicable legislation, Operation Warp Speed, you remember that, they also knew they were freed from liability. They could just pump this thing into the arms of everybody, claim it was safe, even though they knew otherwise, and walk away with billions. Now, before I get to the testimony on the Hill, Fauci, he's doing a whole lot of campaigning for himself on television. If you watched any of the major networks, you've seen a whole lot of this. Just listen to this
the
guy.
The stated purpose of the hearing was to figure out how we can do better, learn by our mistakes, and be better prepared for the inevitability of the next pandemic. And it was complete vitriol and out harming them. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was nothing that even resembled that. And to me, that's the thing that scares me, because I think when you go down that road, I personally think, and I say it in the book, that I think that will, you know, undermine our social order and undermine the fabric of our democracy. Even though it's in a health issue with me, it's in other issues for other people.
It'll undermine the social order and the fabric of our democracy. Just marinate on that for a moment with me. And think about what a statement that is. Think about that. This is a human being who was happy to give endless amounts of guidance to Trump about why he had to lock everything down and everyone had to wear a mask. He was on the television every other day telling people, mask up, two masks, three masks, love your mask, take your booster shot, sorry about your heart attack, take another booster shot, that'll probably make it get better, over and over and over and over and over again, lied intentionally over and over and over again. And yet attacks on him undermine the social order. That's the phrase I want to focus on before we move on to the testimony of today. What does he mean by that? Attacking me undermines the social order? When you really think about it, doesn't that beg the question, how do you view yourself on our social order there, Fauci? Clearly, he views himself as a higher up on our social order. He views himself, just by even saying that, he views himself as being a critical component of our social order. Think about that. I like to fake being a complete obnoxious jerk, even though it's not really an act. I am an obnoxious jerk. But honestly, it'd be a funny radio bit if I came on here and let's say I was giving Jewish producer Chris a bunch of guff like I do. And I was to say, Chris, you questioning me undermines the social order of the country. That's something I would do as a gag for how important I am. You know, the Oracle. This human being just said that in a serious, earnest moment. What does that say about how he views himself in our social order? Think about this.
The stated purpose of the hearing was to figure out how we can do better, learn by our mistakes, and be better prepared for the inevitability of the next pandemic. And it was complete vitriol and out harming them. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was nothing that even resembled that. And to me, that's the thing that scares me, because I think when you go down that road, I personally think, and I say it in the book, that I think that will, you know, undermine our social order and undermine the fabric of our democracy.
Our social order and the fabric of our democracy, which of course we're not. He's using the communist word that the communists have put into our lexicon. But how do you view yourself if people questioning you, criticizing you, undermines the social order? Who is that guy? Hey, Chris, who's that guy on the radio who says these people view themselves as kings and queens? Who is that guy? He sounds really smart. No, not Glenn Beck. I mean, yes, Glenn Beck's really smart. You know what? Shut up, Chris. Anyway, Morning Joe's out there defending Fauci.
I'm just curious how frustrating it is to you that people go back and pick up something that you may have said in March of 2020, or something that another health official or a politician may have said later in that year, whether it's about masks or vaccines or anything. We didn't know. None of us knew where this was going. None of us knew, like, for instance, how long would the vaccine work? Would we need one booster every 5 years? Would we need one every 5 months? How frustrating is it to you that people look back with 2020 hindsight and judge you when you and the rest of the world was in the fog of war?
You know, it is quite frustrating, Joe, and that relates exactly to the answer to the question just a moment ago, where I was saying that people really don't appreciate. I don't blame them for that, but they don't appreciate that we were dealing with a moving target. You're absolutely right. Was it frustrating? It was terribly frustrating because people like to take things out of context and do a gotcha. That's part of the reporting.
Any accountability for the people who destroyed lives is a gotcha. Of course, he took a shot at Trump, too.
From a health standpoint, he missed opportunities to use the bully pulpit of the presidency to tell people to do things that would keep them safe. That's what bothers me as a public health person, as a physician, who my only care and goal is the safety and the protection of the American public and their health. And for example, he could have said when the masks came out and the CDC said, wear a mask, instead of saying, I don't want to wear a mask, he could have said, mask saves lives. Yeah. I'll wear a mask. And then all the people who follow him religiously would have been wearing masks. And it would have been the same thing.
On everywhere.
Yeah. Anyway, there was testimony today, courtesy of the United States Senate. They were dragging people in front of the Senate and getting testimony on what happened. And we need to pause on this for a minute. This stuff matters a lot. Dragging these people into the public, finding out who lied, how many lies were told, what did they lie about? Humiliating people like Fauci is a critical part of maintaining a free society, because people who attack a free society should be attacked in return by that society. Meaning if Fauci is going to use his position to destroy your child's education, for instance, or not let you bury your father, then Fauci deserves scorn, shame, brutal testimony. Frankly, let's be honest, he deserves prison, although I know he's never going to go to prison. I'm not naive. But accountability is so important, and that used to be something that was built into this country. If you were a military leader and you just screwed up, it's not even intentional. If you screwed up on accident, you very likely would have to give testimony about that. You might be court-martialed for mistakes. Now we get the, hey, nobody knew. So let's hear from these witnesses next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember to email us. We love your emails. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I'm going to get to so many of those tonight. We do have Brandon Darby coming up 10 minutes from now, and I have to finish all this Pfizer stuff, and we'll deal with the Supreme Court stuff, but there's going to be 20 emails. Chris, where's my tally at on the email list for tonight? One? That's not right. You missed like five or something like that. You probably weren't paying attention. You'll give me two? Thank you, Chris. At least there's been two. At least two. Anyway, 20 by the end of the night. Back to what we were talking about. So remember when we started to learn about gain of function research? I don't want to speak for you. I didn't know anything about gain of function research before COVID. And then we start to find out what it is. Hold on. We're funding scientists who are intentionally turning a virus more deadly. Why would they do that? That was a question I always asked these people when they came on. Why would you get in a lab and make a virus deadlier and more contagious on purpose? In fact, that's a very good question, Chris. Why do you have to do it in China if this is so important? If this is all on the up and up, why are we doing it in Wuhan? And remember the answer we got? We were told repeatedly Hey, hey, the only gain of function research we do is so it can make vaccines more effective. That's what we were told repeatedly. Well, we have to know how to treat these things. We have to know how to vaccinate for these things. Listen to this guy today.
It's important to emphasize that the research in question has no, zero civilian practical applications. Gain of function research on potential pandemic pathogens is not used and does not contribute to the development of vaccines and is not used and for and does not contribute to the development of drugs.
So again, that rash.
I'll let him finish. That's Senator Ron Johnson questioning him. So all that was a lie? You had to do this gain of function research because that's the only way we're going to know how to treat or vaccinate. But you lied?
Now, for all this research is exactly that. In case we have to respond, in case, but that's the rationale. In case we have to respond to a bioweapon attack, okay, we need a defense mechanism. So that's the reason, for example, the Defense Department has spent $42 million or funded Eco Health Alliance for $42 million and USAID for $53 million, correct?
So the current definition is research that is reasonably anticipated to increase either the transmissibility or the virulence of a potential pandemic pathogen. That research does not contribute to developing countermeasures against potential pandemic pathogens.
Again, that's the rationale they used.
Yeah, so they lied about all that. What else did they lie about? You know what I remember? I remember the lengths they went to try to absolve China from any responsibility for this whole thing. And I do want to remind everybody, I want to remind you, China knew about this. They shut down air travel within their own country. No more flying. Hey, you can't fly from here to there in China. Yet they allowed air travel to continue to the United States of America. Did you know that? You remember that part? And remember what we were told? We were told that it came from a wet market. And you were all, wait a minute, what's a wet market? Is it raining? I don't understand. And they made it sound like there's these exotic Chinese markets straight out of an Indiana Jones movie. And you could just get COVID from a bowl of bat soup. Remember all that? Oh, definitely a wet market.
But second, let's look at the market data. No infected animals in the market or the supply chain were infected. No infected wildlife vendors had SARS. All human infections are the non-ancestral lineage B. The environmental specimens with animal DNA have no SARS-2. One vendor had animals from southern China where SARS-2 came from, but this vendor and his animals are negative for SARS-2. Now, only one of 14 environmental samples with...
I'm too bored. That's too much nerd talk, but that sounds really bad. That sounds like we were lied to. And speaking of being lied to, this is OBGYN Kimberly Biss is her name. How many women, and this is a awful, painful subject, how many women out there lost their babies because of
authors
this?
Authors are either government employed or involved in the vaccine committees to approve vaccines. So this article was published in June of 2021. They had a cohort, I want to say, of maybe 827 women. And they said in their article that the miscarriage rate was normal because it was 13.6%. But the problem with that is that they didn't do the statistics right because they used the whole cohort of women, which were, you know, either first, second, or third trimester of pregnancy. Miscarriage is defined as a pregnancy lost prior to 20 weeks, which would be the halfway mark of a pregnancy. If you lose a baby after 20 weeks, that's a stillbirth. So when you actually took the 20-week and under pregnant women in that study and used the correct math, the miscarriage rate was 83%.
83%. How many mothers and fathers, would-be mothers and fathers, don't have their babies because of this poisonous filth? And this is why I won't let it go. And this is why I will not forget. And I will not forgive. All right? All right. We have Brandon Darby coming up. We're moving away from that. It's too much. We're moving away from that. Talk about the border. I'm going to have trouble sleeping tonight after thinking about that. At least I would if it wasn't for MyPillow. MyPillow is always there to hold me at the end of the day, no matter what garbage is in the news. You see, MyPillow's an incredible American company, a company that has not only shared but promoted our values. That's what I want to focus on here. What Mike Lindell and MyPillow have done, they've taken this great company and all these amazing products. They didn't have to ever get involved in politics at all. If they had just shut up, put their head down, or even better, if they'd just gone along with all this cultural filth, they'd be worth 10 times what they are now. But they didn't. They chose to make sacrifices, big time, getting kicked out of big box stores and otherwise. And they still deliver amazing products at great prices. And there's a $25 extravaganza sale going on now. $25, all kinds of good stuff. $25 at MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special Square, use the promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff. Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever.
The only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for about 30 minutes, I dive into three topics in Major League Baseball that I am interested in. Breaking stories, trends, stats, weird stuff. Sometimes I make up my own stats. Sometimes I do a lot of research, and it ends up, I was wrong the whole time. So that's something you can get in on. Use Jimmy's Three Things podcast to stay up to date on Major League Baseball and to make you just a smidge smarter than your friend who's a baseball fan. You listen to me and then you go tell him, hey, I know this and you don't. So I make you smarter than your friends. That's what Jimmy's Three Things is all about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You could also find it on the Talkin' Baseball YouTube channel, and new episodes drop every Tuesday.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wakin' Jake. It's your go-to spot for anything and everything sports. Baseball, football, basketball, hockey, golf, college, whatever's hot in the street, we're talking about it on Wakin' Jake. So if you're a diehard fan or looking for the latest buzz, we've got you covered. No matter your favorite sport, we're breaking it down with the passion that'll make you feel like you're in the stands with us. Plus, we've got a bunch of guests, Foolish Bailey, Jolly Olive, Chris Rose, and more. Mock drafts, rankings, whatever you want. It's the sports world, and come on and join our friends in the Wake and Jake family. You will not regret it. So, new episodes Monday and Wednesday. You can watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen to Wake and Jake on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Buzz Knight, and I'm the host of the Taking a Walk podcast, Music History on Foot. Ian Hunter.
Hello, Ian. It's Ringo. How'd you fancy going on the tour? You get the chills when a Beatles are on your answering machine.
The podcast is an audio diary of insightful conversations with musicians and the inside stories behind their music. Kenny Aronoff.
I wake up every morning and I feel grateful, but I know it didn't come from luck. If you get a lucky break, well, you better be prepared. You better be ready. If you've done your homework and you're continuing to do your homework, you'll turn that lucky break into something great.
The message of the podcast is simple. Honest conversation with musicians about the music they create. Carney Wilson.
You know, I mean, Elton John picked me up and put me back in my crib when I was a toddler. It's like, that's the thing that's so cool is,
I've got these stories because of my life.
Listen to the Taking a Walk podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. Have you heard about my newsletter called Body and Soul? It has everything you need to know about your physical and mental health. Personally, I'm overwhelmed by the wellness industry. I mean, there's so much information out there about lifting weights, pelvic floors, cold plunges, anti-aging. So I launched Body and Soul to share doctor-approved insights about all of that and more. We're tackling everything. Serums to use through menopause, exercises that improve your brain health, and how to naturally lower your blood pressure and cholesterol. Oh, and if you're as sore as I am from pickleball, we'll help you with that too. Most importantly, it's information you can trust. Everything is vetted by experts at the top of their field, and you can write into them directly to have your questions answered. So sign up for Body and Soul at katiecouric.com/bodyandsoul. Taking better care of yourself is just a click away.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and joining me now, as he often does, my friend Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles, Breitbart, knows more about the border and the cartels and illegal immigration than anything else. You know what? Set all that crap aside for a moment. Brandon, I hate to sound like an old man, but doesn't that make you miss the 80s? I was trying to explain to my kids, because I'm starting to show them 80s movies now, and they're saying, Dad, they're so different, and they're awesome. Life was just different then, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was, Jesse. You know, the good news is 80s nights are really popular, so you can relive the 80s a little bit. You can, you know, several auto traders online, you can find cars from the 80s. I mean, you could really live it up if you want to. I like 80s nights. I go to 80s nights wherever I go. I always look for an 80s night. I love to dance. So you know, get a little 80s every so often, watch a couple 80s movies. You know, it's not bad.
No, it's not bad. Gosh,
I get a Trapper Keeper.
I don't
write your girlfriend or your wife's name on the Trapper Keeper.
You know? Trapper Keeper. You know, I would enjoy dancing every now and then, but the wife says it's like dancing with the grizzly bear, so I generally try not to do that. Either way, let's talk about some cartel stuff. Okay, Brandon, obviously things are ramping up a bit at the border. It looks pretty obvious to me anyway. The administration is trying to hoover up as many of these people into the country as humanly possible in anticipation of Joe possibly losing the election. But I don't want to speak out of turn. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there's two levels going on here on both sides, right? But we'll talk right now about Democrats, since they're the ones who control the administration. I think on a normal, everyday street level, you know, Democrats who consume largely Democratic Party propaganda, right, the mainstream media, I think that they genuinely think that they're just caring for people, trying to be helpful. I don't think that they're, you know, have the most evil intentions. But I do think on a higher level, I think that the Democratic Party is intentionally bringing people into the country. And, you know, let me put it this way. If they were predominantly Republicans, I do not think Democrats would be allowing them in, right? So I think that ultimately it turns red states blue to fill our country with millions of people who are impoverished and who need to live off of a system that they will then want to perpetuate because they benefited from it, so other people should too. I think that's where we are. I think leading up to elections, what Democrats do is they make deals with Mexico, and Mexico starts cracking down a little bit and making the numbers slow down so that it looks like the Democratic administration is doing something about the border. But in reality, they are not doing anything sustainable, anything long-term, or anything other than just simply giving favors to Mexico. So Mexico, you know, cracks down a little bit ahead of an election.
Brandon, let's actually focus on Mexico. This is really the main reason I wanted you to come on. Their new president. I never know. It's hard to figure out what another country's new leader is and what they're not. I haven't read very much that's very complimentary of this woman, but I don't know. You know, who is this woman? What is this woman? What should we anticipate from her?
I think you're going to anticipate much of what you've much of what you've seen with the previous Mexican president. You have to keep in mind that no one really ran strongly against her. No one really ran strongly against her because it's just a continuation. It's AMLO's handpicked person. AMLO being the actual current Mexican, president, before the female takes over, Ms. Claudia Sheinbaum. But we're going to see a continuation of that. We have leftists. You know, Mexico is a very leftist country, a very left-leaning country. You're going to see a continuation of buddying up with China and pitting and playing China against the U.S. To get benefit for Mexico, which is what we already have going on. Like I've said this on your show before, you know, when Mexico's, you know, communications and telecom infrastructure is being built, the U.S. did not get that. China got it. Huawei got it, you know. And so you have China trying to basically ultimately have a satellite or a subservient country on our southern border. And you have the U.S. doing a really bad job, the U.S. State Department doing a really bad job at competing with China for its interests in Mexico. So you're going to see more of that. I think you're going to see more of the same policies towards drug cartels. I don't think they're going to crack down. I think that it's going to be much of, you know, hey, as long as you guys don't get too out of line, we're not going to do anything about it. Never we do anything about it, you know, there's a lot of violence, and that's on us. You know, that's, they look at it like liberals look at things. They look at guns like liberals look at guns. They look at crime like liberals generally look at crime. I'm sure there's some small subset of liberals who are pro-law enforcement and don't look at it that way. I'm sure you can find some union guys up in the north or something, or in Minnesota or Michigan or whatever, who aren't anti-law enforcement or who are pro-law enforcement, who are liberals. But generally speaking, they have a weird way of looking at stuff. It's, you know, when Mexico did crack down and when the U.S. did crack down on cartels after they killed a DEA agent named Kiki Camarena, and they tortured him and brutalized him, kidnapped him. That Mexico blamed the U.S. for the increased violence simply because we went after the bad guys who were hurting our people. Yes, there's going to be more violence whenever you're shooting at bad guys. More people get shot, right? But ultimately, in the long term, you know, Mexico has decided that it's largely okay with being a corrupted narco state. The United Nations has it listed as a fragile state, which has not failed, but it's getting pretty close, right? Mm-hmm. And Mexico's just going to continue that.
Speaking with Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles. Brandon, I do this to you a lot, but I have a couple other questions I want to follow up with. Do you think you can hang on for just 5 to 10 more after this so I can ask a couple questions about their ability to crack down, what they can do with the cartels? I find this fascinating. Do you have 10?
Absolutely.
Okay, we will be right back. I'm going to break a little bit early. We'll be right back with Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles. We have more. I have questions. It's what a journalist would do. Hang on.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, back with Brandon Darby, our cartel illegal immigration expert, talking about the border. Okay, Brandon, we have this new president of Mexico, and you brought up cracking down on the cartels. Let's just set her aside for a moment. Politically, is it possible for Mexico to get a president, an administration that would legitimately, in serious ways, go after the cartels, or do they control too much of the country that's just not something that's realistically going to happen?
Well, you know, it's not realistically going to happen. You know, I'm an advocate of, and I have been for many years, of the U.S. taking independent action to deal with drug cartels. No, that doesn't mean sending in Marines, but it does mean probably allowing our intelligence community, some of whom would be U.S. military in small numbers, right, to take specific targeted actions against individuals in Mexico and networks in Mexico who are hurting American citizens. I think that that is something we would ultimately have to do. I think, you know, finding people in Mexico who are friendly toward our interests, whether that's because of idealistic reasons or because they want U.S. citizenship or because they want money, and getting those people to do the bidding of our nation is probably where we are as a country, with Mexico as neighbors, depending on Mexico. I do not believe that another nation should be allowed to poison and send killers into our country and get away with it simply because the drug lord is connected politically and economically to Mexico's leadership. I think we should take action. I'm very hawkish about that. That said, I'm critical of people saying we should send in our military and take it over. No, I don't think so. I think we should basically, you know, either obtain the individuals who are hurting us and responsible, or we should, you know, we should make sure that they are pushing up daisies. I'm perfectly okay with that. That is where what we ultimately will have to do, even if we don't want to do that right now as a nation, that's what we'll have to do. You have to remember, Jesse, that the drug lord is just a replaceable figurehead in Mexico being a narco state. You have these circles of corruption in that are politicians, industry leaders, financiers, financial leaders, who are ultimately connected. They're more than happy when we take out an El Chapo or El Gato or whomever the particular cartel head is, because another one just pops in that person's place. It's the circle of corruption behind the drug cartels that are our real enemy. And I think that we've done well at identifying who some of those people are. You just go to our Treasury Department's blacklist and see who we've identified. But I think ultimately, you know, we as a nation will have to take independent action, possibly through people in Mexico, in order to, you know, we should probably treat it like the threat that it is and deal with it the way that our intelligence community and certain parts of our military deal with such threats in other countries.
Yeah. Speaking again with Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles. Okay, Brandon, finally, to what level does the cartel operate inside the borders of America? You know so much more than I know, but I personally know of a suburb right here in the Houston area where cartel leaders from opposing cartels reside, and the local cops know they reside there. And there's an unspoken agreement, no violence here. Y'all have your suburban home. To what level are these organizations operating, not in Mexico, but here?
Well, good question, Jesse. We have to remember when we talk about the cartel, we're really talking about thousands of independent mm-hmm. criminal groups, some of whom are under the banner of like the Sinaloa Federation. We call them the Sinaloa Cartel, but those are particularly hundreds of criminal groups who all have their own names, but we call them Sinaloa Cartel. So in central Mexico, many of the cartel leaders are Mexican nationals. Along our southern border, the majority of the cartel leadership are actually U.S. citizens, people with dual citizenship who live in the United States. So these guys have our country divvied up into their territories, right? So for instance, if you're in South Texas, if you're east of Zapata, Texas, you're very strongly in Gulf Cartel territory. When you get west of Zapata, Texas, all the way to roughly Del Rio, you're in Los Zetas Cartel, CDN's territory. You know, they call themselves CDN. We still call them Los Zetas because we don't allow them to rebrand and, you know, shirk off all the bad things they've done historically. When you go west of that, I mean, go down the line. Lubbock, Texas is mostly a cartel out of Juarez's territory. Washington State and Portland, Oregon, all that region up there largely belongs to the, you know, groups in Jalisco and in Michoacan. So, you know, Alabama has a lot of influence and territory of a Guatemalan criminal group. So our country is divvied up big time, and cartels have their territory here just like they do there. A lot of times they get U.S. gang members, U.S. gangs, U.S. criminal groups, U.S. prison gangs to do their bidding in our country. But make no mistake, the calls for what to do are coming from Mexican cartels.
And that's something that most Americans don't realize, is that our, the prize is the United States, right? We are the largest buyers of the drugs that they sell. We are the largest takers of the migrants that they traffic. So their entire economic engine is impossible without also having U.S. buyers.
Yeah, that is the sad freaking fact of it. Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes and making it smarter tonight. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, that's why I asked that last question, because every time I talk to one of these guys, Border Patrol guy, someone like that, and I talk to them about the different cartels and the different areas, they have the country already divided up. And as you heard from him, he's talking about Washington, Oregon. We're not just talking about, this isn't just a Texas, Arizona, New Mexico thing, Southern California thing. They operate here. They operate here in, when it comes to dealing with this fentanyl crisis. Look, when you have 100,000 Americans dying of anything, it's a huge deal. 100,000 Americans a year are now dying of fentanyl. We're not even going to talk about the largest slave trade in the history of the world on our southern border right now. Not yesteryear, now. That's happening right now. But the problem is, and you probably followed along with, that's why I was asking the questions I asked, so much of this corruption and crime and everything, it's woven into not just the very government of Mexico, it's woven into the United States of America. And how do you get a cancer out when it's in the bones? That isn't necessarily something that's easy. And sometimes, I hate to say it, you don't want to be Debbie Downer, sometimes it's not even necessarily something that's possible. Is it possible to totally fix this problem? You know, it's easy on the campaign trail to just say, we're going to go send in the Marines. Again, that's why I was asking the questions. It's so much more difficult than that. And it's going to be a generational thing. We'll see how she goes. All right. So the Supreme Court, we already did the COVID, Pfizer stuff and whatnot, but the Supreme Court has this thing. Every now and then, when they're about to make a ruling or have an opinion made public, every now and then they will put barriers up around the court itself. That's when they think whatever opinion, whatever ruling they're going to pass down might be a little spicy and a little controversial. Well, the barriers just got put up. Did you know that? You know what's coming? Let's do a little Supreme Court talk and some things surrounding that in just a moment. Before we get to that, that may be a lot to take in. You know, things are about to get a little spicy in the country. That's fine. You've been taking your chalk, haven't you? Or are you still needing that afternoon nap around 2 or 3? I don't know. I'm kind of tired. I'm bushed. I'm out of energy. Is that you right now? Maybe some natural herbal supplements will have you feeling differently. I have an email from a guy here. I won't even go over the whole thing, but he did say, by the way, I've been on chalk for several months, and they just called me to offer me an even greater discount. What a company. This is from Charles and Abby. You want to be treated well? You want to feel like $1 million? Fellas, for you, you want your T levels jacked through the roof so your mind works great? Chalk.com, chok.com. Promo code Jesse gets you huge discounts on subscriptions for life, or call them 50-CHOK-3000. All right? It's time for Supreme Court Talk. Next.
Alltag in der IT-Zentrale.
Nur noch 30 Minuten bis zur Präsentation. Nicht viel Zeit für so viel Content?
Keine Sorge, der PC hat KI-Apps, um effizienter und produktiver zu arbeiten.
Und die KI-unterstützte Sicherheit erkennt Cyberangriffe, die gefährlich werden könnten.
Wie hat man das früher ohne KI geschafft?
Das frage ich mich auch.
Erstklassige KI-Leistung und Multilayer-Sicherheit mit Intel Core Ultra-Prozessoren und Intel vPro. Kein Produkt bietet absolute Sicherheit. Mehr auf intel.de/itheroes.
Hi, everybody. It's Katie Couric. Have you heard about my newsletter called Body and Soul? It has everything you need to know about health and wellness, from skincare and serums to meditation and brain health. We've got you covered. And most importantly, it's information you can trust. Everything is vetted by experts at the top of their field. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/body and soul. That's KATIECOURIC.com/body and soul. I promise you'll be happier and healthier if you do.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for 30 minutes, I dive into three stories in Major League Baseball that I want to talk about, or I do a stat deep dive. Sometimes I create my own stats. It gets weird. It's now your go-to podcast for staying up to date and in the weeds with Major League Baseball. No topic is off limits or too small. Bad umpires, great pitcher-catcher duos, new rules, old rules, three things that I want to talk about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Bruce Bozzi. On my podcast, Table for Two, we have unforgettable lunch after unforgettable lunch with the best guest you could possibly ask for. People like David Duchovny, Jeff Goldblum, and Kristen Wiig.
We're doing all the dessert.
We'll just skip right to it.
Our second season is airing right now, so you can catch up on our conversations that are intimate and often hilarious. Listen to Table for Two with Bruce Bozzi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.